And last Sunday, we began a new series called Standing on the Promises. And as I've kind of looked into this, I have realized that there are many, many, many promises that we can pick from. And sometimes when you face something so large, it becomes difficult on picking and choosing which one to talk about, which one to study, and which one to share, because there's so many of them. Someone said they counted over 8,000. Well, I'm not so sure, but that's very possible. And so I thought, if you have a favorite, maybe there's one that's your favorite and God has used it in your life and it's a blessing to you, and you let me know. Maybe I'll pray about it, and if God leads, maybe that would be one that I could study up a little bit and then share it with you. That would be cool. So if you got a favorite, let me know which one it is, and I'll pray to God about that and see if it's something that He would have us to do. Last Sunday, we learned that a promise is only as good as the one who makes it. There was a time in our nation when man's word meant something, when all you had to do was shake their hand, and it was a bond. It was guaranteed. When you gave them your word and shook on it, there was no doubt that that person was going to follow through. But things have changed, and not for the good, because so often today, man's word does not mean very much anymore. Promises don't matter much anymore. People walk the aisle at a wedding and make promises, and they don't seem to matter too much in some lives. Yeah, we've all been guilty of breaking promises. I have. But my intentions are to keep my promises, to be a man of my word. And I assume that's the same for all of you here. But in our nation, in our world, it's not so much anymore. There. And that's a sad thing. So the one thing that you need to know is we serve a God who does always keep His word and always keeps His promises, even though we don't always do that. He will keep His word and He will do what He says because He's God. Sometimes we don't do what we say, and sometimes we don't keep our word because we're not. And we learned last time that God is eternal, all-powerful, never grows weary, and knows all there is to know about everything. God's word says this: we know, serve, and love a God who says, "I, the Lord, do not change." In Numbers 23, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says this: God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? And the answer to all those questions is no, of course not. He's not that kind of God. Aren't you glad God is not like you and me? Weak? And sometimes we fail. Not only is the one who makes the promise of whatever you might put in there, the promise of, not only is eternal, all-powerful, tireless, knows everything there is to know, but He's also omnipresent. Which means that God in His fullness is present in all places at all times. There's nowhere in the universe that God is not. See, God is always where He's needed. And whatever needs to be done, He will do it. Because He's omnipresent. So no matter where you are at or where I'm at, it makes no difference. God is there. We can always say, no matter where we're at, that God is in this place. We can say it here. We can say it in Papua New Guinea. We can get in a spaceship and fly to the moon and we can say it there. God is in this place because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so the promise that we're looking at this morning is the promise of God's presence. And that's what it says in Exodus 33, verse 19. He's talking to Moses and He says this to Moses. He says to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. So we see in this promise two things. We see that He promises to go with us. And not only that, because He promises to go with us, to be with us, wherever we are at, if we claim that promise, if we understand the promise, believe the promise, and claim the promise, we will be at rest. The reason why we're not living at peace or restful lives is because we're not claiming this promise. Either we don't understand the promise and have never heard about the promise, or we've heard about the promise, we understand the promise, but we don't know if we believe the promise that God is omnipresent, that God is everywhere, let alone with us, no matter where we're at. Or maybe you know the promise, understand the promise, and believe the promise is true, that because the Bible is true and God cannot lie, but you don't act on the promise. Maybe that's our problem sometimes. Because He says, because My presence will go with you, My presence will be with you at all times. I, the promise giver, the promise maker, will give you rest, will give you peace. Now, what was going on in Moses' life when God gave him this promise? God called Moses to lead His people out of Egypt and take them through the promised land, through the desert. And he was going to be responsible for a million people. What if God said and tapped you on the shoulder and said, I'm going to give you the responsibility to take care of a million people. And by the way, these million people are kind of stiff-necked and troublemakers. Which they were. That's the kind of people they were. They were very difficult people. And Moses said to God, God, I can't do it. Wouldn't you think the same thing? Here, child of God, be responsible for a million people. You're going to lead them. And by the way, they don't listen very good. And by the way, then you're going to end up in the desert, and so there's no food or water. But you got to lead them through those difficulties. God, I can't do it. And I don't want to do it unless you go with me. See, I'm the pastor of this church. You know, 100 people. I don't think I want it. I can't do it unless you go with me. Can you imagine if it was a million? Church of a million? I don't think so. I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it. I like our group. We don't got too many problems. Or difficult people. Huh? But the same thing is, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go to Papua New Guinea if you go with me. If your presence goes with me. I will take that Sunday school class if your presence goes with me, if you're in that classroom with me. See, that's what Moses was asking. I can't do it. I don't want to do it unless you go with me. That's what's going on when God makes this promise. And not only is He making this promise to Moses, He's making this promise to you. God opens the door for a job opportunity. Kind of nervous about it. Remember, I'll do it. I'll go there. I'll take the interview, Lord, if you go with me. And so He's there in that room with you. No matter what it is we face. We go to a doctor. Uh-oh. Doctors? Not. I don't like doctors too much, especially dentists. But He goes with us. He's there with us. That's His promise here. Now, if God is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere all at the same time, then what does this promise mean here? Is there a difference between the theological doctrine that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere at the same time, and this promise? Is there a difference between those two? And if so, what is the difference and what does it mean? David said this in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, and I'm reading the New Living Translation, and it's on the screen for you, especially verse 7. He says, I can never escape from your spirit, David said. Then he said this, note it, I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I can't hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. What is he talking about? He's talking about the omnipresence of God here in this passage. He's teaching that God is omnipresent. Well, see that little phrase in verse 7? David says, I can never get away from your presence. Compare that with what it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Well, how could that be? David said in Psalm 139, verse 7, I can never get away from your presence. Then Cain comes along, and the Bible says, and the Bible is true, that Cain walked away from the presence of the Lord. How could Cain depart from the presence of God, who's everywhere all at the same time, who's omnipresent? Not only that, Jeremiah 23:24 says that God fills both heaven and earth. How in the world could anyone walk away from the omnipresence of God, a God who fills heaven and earth, like it says Cain did? Well, this is weird. What's going on here? Looks like we have a problem in the Bible. Some might even say, oh, there's a contradiction. I knew they were in the Bible. Bible can't be trusted. Sounds a little confusing, doesn't it? What does the promise of God's presence refer to? What does it really mean? Because it's a promise given to you and me. And so we need to first understand what it means. Then we need to believe what it says. And then act upon that truth. The word translated presence in both the Old Testament and the New Testament means face, F-A-C-E. Dr. Jack Graham says that the etymology of the Hebrew word means my shining face, which would say, my shining face will go with you, Moses. He's saying the same thing to you and me. My shining face will go with you and be with you. See, shining in the Bible often refers to God's glory. Whenever God shows up like He did on the Mount of Transfiguration or wherever, or in the book of Revelation or in the Old Testament, it always described God's face as brilliant, as shining, as glorious. And so He's saying here that My glory, or God in all His fullness, goes with us. My shining face, My glory, all that I am, goes with you. That's an amazing thought. There's a great Old Testament blessing that's found in Numbers 6, 24-26, and it says this, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Now notice what it says in verse 25, "And the Lord make His face to shine upon you." What is that saying? That the glory of God, His power and His wisdom and His might and His strength would shine upon you, would be given to you in your life. "May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Notice peace. Notice the end result of all of this. Blessing, rest, peace. The promise of God's presence says, My face, My shining face is always turned towards you. God is promising, I'm not just always going to be with you, My omnipresence, but I'm always going to be with you looking your way. That's cool. This says that we are not just together standing side by side as strangers with God, or even like friends with God. No, but we are standing face to face with God. And that is a position of personal intimacy, personal relationship. So He is everywhere all at the same time. He's with us wherever we go. And that's an amazing promise of God. And I love that promise. But that's not all there is to it. He says, My face is always towards you. I'm always looking your way. There's never, ever a time where God is not looking towards you as His child. David Needham, a retired professor from Multnomah University, wrote this, quote, "God is saying to Moses, not only will I go with you, but My focus will be on you. You, Moses, will have My complete attention at all times." Now that's an amazing thing. And only God can do that all over the world, all at the same time, to all of His children. That His focus and His attention is always on you. It never gets distracted. He never gets too tired to focus on you, to be interested in you and what's going on in your life and in my life. See, that's what that word means when He says, Moses, My presence will go with you. My face is always turned towards you. Always. I will never for even one moment look away. Ever. Because you belong to Me and I love you. His face is always looking our way. Always. I was thinking about that, and this last year, Hannah, my granddaughter, was on the track team, and she ran the hurdles and did real well in their one team, you know, where they hand off the stick. What's that called? The relay team. They at the junior Olympic thing, they got first place and did really well, if I remember right what she told us. And so she was doing that, and there, well, as many as I could, I went and watched. And there were a few times where I was the only one there. Rachel, her mom, was working, and Grandma was working, and so I was sitting up at the stands there watching her by myself. Well, I noticed all of the other runners and those that were jumping and doing all that stuff, and I also noticed everything that was going on. I noticed it all, but my face was towards her. I was always looking her way. For a moment, when I'd lose her, I'd be going like this, trying to figure out where she was, because I'd lose her for a moment. Because I was always looking her way. Even though I noticed everybody else, even though I noticed a few of her friends that we've kind of gotten to know a little bit as they were out there, but I was always looking her way. She had my full attention as I sat there in the stands, watching her run. And see, that's like God. Why was it that my full attention was on Hannah as she was running and not on everybody else? One word, relationship. Relationship made the difference. Love made the difference. Concern for her and wanting her to do well made the difference. And that's exactly the attitude of God the Father. His attention is on us. He never looks away. There were times where I looked away and then I frantically can't find her. And one time, Sharon and I were there and she was watching the wrong girl run. Or maybe it was me, I can't remember. I said, that's not her, she's over there. God never does that. He always knows where we're at and what's going on in our life, and He cares. His attention is never diverted away. Because that happened a few times. You wait, and then you kind of look away, and then something happened, you miss the whole thing. That's kind of frustrating. The only reason I was here is to watch that, and then I get distracted. That's God. Once she said this, if I remember it right, kind of like this. She said, whenever I look up in the stands and I see you watching me, it makes me feel good. Whenever I look up in the stands and I see you watching me, it makes me feel good. This truth should make us feel good because the Father is up in the stands and He's watching. But what is even more cool than that, He's not just up in the stands watching. He's down there running the race with you. And sometimes when we stumble and fall, He picks us up and carries us to the finish line, does He not? That's the Father in heaven that we serve. Sometimes between the events that Hannah would run a race, and then it'd be quite a while before her next event, so there'd be a lot of time. And so sometimes what she would do is she'd come over and she would come up to the stands and sit with us and visit and stuff. She would do that. She was noticing us. We were noticing her. And we would catch her eye and we would wave and she'd wave back. But I wonder sometimes how often it is God looking down at us and we're not looking at Him. We're not paying attention to Him. And He even waves, but we don't see His wave. How would I have felt if I took the time to be there and sitting out in a couple of times the hot sun watching the race and then she never ever took notice that we were even there, never waved, never paid any attention. Never came by to sit by us and say hi. How would I have felt? Well, that's how God feels when He's always got His attention on us, but we're not looking back at Him there. See, this promise that we're talking about is only for the child of God. Only for those who have confessed and turned away from living a life of sin and rebellion against God. And we've turned towards Him. And we believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that He died on a cross for us, and 3 days later He rose again. Why? So He could forgive us of our sins and give us a free gift of eternal salvation. And not only that, because He wants to change us. Forgive us, give us eternal life, and begin to change us. See, it's for those people that say, yeah, that's me. I've been forgiven. I've got eternal life. God is changing me, at least somewhat changing me. It's for you. If that's you, this promise is for you. He not only promises that He will never ever leave you nor forsake you, as it says in the New Testament, but He promises that His face will always be turned your way. He will always be looking your way. But sometimes I wonder, as His children, have we turned our face away from Him? How many times has He looked and waved and we're not facing Him? We've turned away from Him. How many times has He looked down and waved, and as the tears came down His face and out of His broken heart, looking towards you, but you're not looking His way? I wonder how many times that's happened in my life. He's looking, watching, interested, but I'm not looking back. I give my heart to something else or someone else. And how hard that must be for Him at times. The cry of His heart is, turn back, please turn back and look to me. Samuel Storms wrote this, quote, God's omnipresence should console the righteous. No matter what the trial, no matter the place of its occurrence, no matter the swiftness with which it assaults, no matter the depth of its power, God is ever with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. And let me add this, not only is it Thou art with me, but my face is towards You. I'm interested in You. See, as a child of God, the question is never, is His face looking towards me? But rather, the question is my face looking towards Him? Now that's the question. Maybe God is speaking to you right now, and He's saying, please turn around. I'm looking at you. Why aren't you looking at me? I love you. Why aren't you loving me back? Turn around and face me. And you know what that is? That's repentance. It's God's call to repent, to turn around towards God and face Him. David Needham said this. He said, how often have we found ourselves overwhelmed by the darkness of our circumstances when all along the glory of God has been shining on our backs? How often has that happened? Because we chose to face the wrong direction. This morning we're going to gather around the table as the family of God. And as we come to that table, see, it's an opportunity to face Him, to turn. turn to Him. I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you need to turn to Him and face Him for the first time through trusting Him as your personal Savior, through receiving forgiveness of sins and eternal life and allowing God now to change you and make you like Him. Maybe that's what you need to do right where you're sitting. You can confess your sins to God and confess that and say, God, forgive me of my sins and come into my life and my heart and give me that special gift of eternal salvation. And you can do it. And then gather around the table because you have turned in repentance to face Him. Maybe you're a child of God and you realize that you have turned away and you haven't been looking at Him. You've been looking at stuff, circumstances, problems, whatever, but not Him. We've all been there, done that. What we need to do is turn back and face Him. Turn back towards Him. Confess our sins. Receive forgiveness. And then rest in the comfort and the security of His presence in your life. See, His face is always towards you. It's towards you right now. The question is your face towards Him? And this is as good a time as any to turn back and look at Him face to face in that loving relationship. Father, thank You for the cross. It's our opportunity as Your family when we're tempted to turn, when we're tempted to take our hearts and give them to somebody else or something else. Father, it's the opportunity we have to turn back towards Christ, towards the cross, being reminded of what He did on our behalf, dying for us. Father, may we stand face to face with You now as we partake of this table. And we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.